Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and you just tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt. It is just after 8 p.m. in the American Redoubt Pacific time. Welcome on this 27th day of October, rounding out October. The time's going to be changing pretty soon. This is episode 1329. Welcome to all of you patriots, preppers, and redoubters. God-fearing, liberty-minded American and Canadian and many other citizens. Great to have you with us, and welcome to all of our new American Redoubt Network members and AMRON volunteers that are part of the ARN, who have decided to step up to the plate and offer their communication skills to help keep like-minded patriots connected all across the American Redoubt and outside the wire in occupied America. Okay, we've got several things to cover. In fact, we're going to cover a couple serious things. So I jettisoned my pajamas and I am wearing jeans because this is serious stuff here. So that's just a little play. A couple weeks ago, Barbara Boxer said that real journalists should be the only ones to be allowed to voice their opinions, because people that wear pajamas and in their basement podcasting and blogging don't count as real journalists. Okay, so no pajamas tonight for me. We got several things we want to cover, and I want to just thank all of you for being with us tonight. I already said that, but I just wanted to say it again because I mean it. We've got coverage on Facebook.com/Radio Free Readout. You can follow us there. Remember, it's REDOUBT, Readout or Readout. This is the Americanized version. It's Readout. We don't call it Redoux here, but it's the same concept as the Swiss Readout. Okay, without further ado, there's several things I want to cover. I'm going to get into the news and commentary here in just one second. News and commentary is brought to you by Katie Armor, the manufacturers of AR-500 body armor, and they are also the ones who donated the full body armor for the December 15th drawing. And you can read more about that by clicking on the banner that says Win Gear. We've already given away the AMP 3 Outfitter. And in December, we have the full body armor carrier plates, side plates, front and back. And those are going to be getting upgraded, those plates. And we'll give you more details on that when it comes down the line. Oh, let's see. In the news, you guys know already that the writing's on the wall. It does not look good across our military. We've now had the 9th U.S. general fired by the Obama administration. ABC's Diane Sawyer brought us a video of the ninth general fired from the military about 2 weeks ago. And it's even reaching some of the more liberal stations and begging them to ask the question, what is going on? It seems President Obama is preparing for what he calls my military. We covered that a few weeks ago. My military, that's a direct quote, for his version of the final solution. With all the documents that we have, it looks as though he's purging the military for the next step. We've seen this official president Obama temper tantrum in action a couple weeks ago, but is there a method to his madness? This is pretty spooky because we've seen this in regimes in the past. You know, some people are like, hey, you know, you just don't like Obama because he's black. Well, I thought he was half white. I'm not I'm really confused. I guess it's just a matter of political expediency, you know, what color he is. But when I see him, I don't see black or white. I see red. I see someone who has been heavily influenced by communism. I see communistic policies, socialistic policies, very much a statist and a global visionist. We're going to start running some counter. You know, you're starting to see this a major ad campaign. I've seen it around publicly. Be a global citizen. Well, I say phooey on that. And we're going to start running a Be an American Citizen campaign because what they're trying to do is break down national borders, sovereignty, and make us all global citizens. And that just rubs me the wrong way. Well, they're preparing for it. They're preparing our military. You know, I've mentioned this book before, When the Almond Tree Blossoms. A lot of people are concerned about the military being used by an oppressive regime to put its boot on the throat to the American people and finally disarm them. But I see a division, a schism taking place in the military because I know there's a lot of redoubters, a lot of listeners. God bless you guys over in Afghanistan, in Djibouti, over in Germany, Japan, Afghanistan. I've just heard from so many of you guys, there's a lot of patriots in our military, and there's patriotic generals. There's a division, and I trust that the patriots among the ranks, when the time comes, are going to remember their oaths. Many of them have already made their decisions on where they stand, but there's definitely something going on in our military. There is another article out. Does the Army consider Christians, Tea Party, and the Christians and the Tea Party a terror threat? Soldiers attending a pre-deployment briefing at Fort Hood. Remember, this is the same place where Major Hassan went on a shooting rampage, a Muslim extremist yelling Allahu Akbar in a workplace in violence incident, shot our own soldiers at this very same fort, Fort Hood, Texas. These guys are getting a pre-deployment briefing, and they were told that evangelical Christians and members of the Tea Party were a threat to the nation, and that any soldier donating to the groups would be subjected to punishment under the UCMJ. And who do you think's behind this? These back briefings, these threat briefings? It's the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're behind so much of this law enforcement military training. Well, under the See Something, Say Something, we started getting information rolling in, and sure enough, went mainstream. A soldier who attended the October 17th briefing said that the counterintelligence agent in charge of the meeting spent nearly a half an hour discussing how evangelical Christians and groups like the American Family Association were tearing the country apart. Quote. So we have attorneys that are working on it. Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council said on the very base that was the site of the mass murder carried out by a radicalized Muslim soldier, it's astonishing that it is evangelical groups that are being identified as a threat. Of course, he goes on to say the American public should be outraged that the U.S. Army is teaching our troops the evangelical Christians and Tea Party members are enemies of America. You know, it's coming. There is a huge battle against our chaplains. We're definitely in very much trouble. So all of you in uniform and in law enforcement, in blue and in the military, in green uniform, hold the line. Hold what you got. Okay, stand fast. Know what you believe in. Know in your heart what you believe in. Time's coming when we're all going to have to make some very serious decisions. But for right now, remember just in your heart, you're serving our country. And remember your oath to defend and uphold the Constitution. And when the time comes, you'll be able to execute the decision that you've already made now. And our prayers are going to be with you guys. You're going to be definitely on the front lines here. And you already are in a different battle, not a battle against Al-Qaeda or Taliban. This is a different battle. So hold your ground. Right now, it's just we just need to uphold our, especially our troops, in prayer. They're purging our military of anyone who won't hold, anyone who won't toe the party line of this socialist, globalist agenda to erode our Constitution. The Air Force Academy is now discussing and have determined they will probably drop So Help Me God from their honor code that they take. The Air Force Academy might exercise a religious reference from an oath that cadets take to swear allegiance to the school's honor code. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation has protested the So Help Me God phrase that was added to the end of an oath that has cadets swearing they won't lie, cheat, steal, or tolerate those who do. So help me God. Well, we need to get rid of that. Pretty scary what's going on. On the federal so-called law enforcement side of things, they're militarizing. They are using more and more SWAT teams for the most mundane tasks. We've covered this in the past. There's so much out there. There was a documentary that was put out that's showing that every 27 minutes, someone's home in America is being raided by a SWAT-style special tactics team. Pre-dawn raids for late school school student loans, for parking violations. There was another one that came out of armed agents seize records of reporter. Washington Times prepares legal action. Now, this happened in Maryland, so this is definitely in New Europe, a very strong occupied territory in America. Maryland State Police and federal agents used a search warrant in an unrelated criminal investigation to seize the private reporting files of an award-winning former investigative journalist for the Washington Times who had exposed problems in Homeland Security Department's Federal Air Marshal Service. It's beginning to become the new Stasi. Reporter Audrey Hudson said the investigators, who included an agent for Homeland's Coast Guard Service, took her private notes and government documents that she'd obtained under the Freedom of Information Act during a pre-dawn raid, that's how they do it, of her family home on August 6th. The documents, some which chronicled her sources and her work at the Times about problems inside the Homeland Security Department, they were seized under a warrant to search for an unregistered firearm and a potato gun that apparently, reportedly, belonged to her husband, who's a Coast Guard employee. Mr. Flanagan's not been charged with any wrongdoing since the raid. The warrant obtained by the Times offered no specific permission to seize reporting notes or files. So they go there to look for illegal firearms, very vague, and a potato gun. And in the process, they seize these notes that she's been compiling, documenting problems within Homeland Security. Has nothing to do with illegal weapons. Do you think they were really there for illegal weapons? No. Amazing. What's happening? Well, news inside the American Redoubt. Here is a good story. This is actually uplifting. A victory has been attained inside the American Redoubt for our redoubters over in Kootenai County, Idaho. That is the county which Coeur d'Alene, the city of Coeur d'Alene, is the county seat for Kootenai County. There's been a controversial land use code that has been pushed down the throats of the Kootenai County residents. they have decided to throw it out. The Planning Commission on Monday voted to move forward on writing a new land use code without the help of this front agency for the Agenda 21 called Kendig Keast. The county's land use consultant, which developed the controversial unified land use code. The commission met to consider a prospectus provided by the consultant that details what the county needs to do in order to simplify the ULUC and make it more user-friendly. This was a huge monster. It was a monstrosity of a document that heavily restricted rural land use. It would have affected the residents in Kootenai County. Now, why am I talking about this? Because, first of all, it happened in the American Redoubt in Kootenai County. Secondly, this is happening in several communities, not just across the American Redoubt, but across the country. And these consulting firms are coming in, going, Agenda 21, that's absolutely ridiculous. We're just here consulting to help you form a comprehensive land use code, which is required by your state law, which our friends lobbied for. But we're here to help you because we know it's a monumental task and we do this for a living and you don't. So give us $300,000 and we'll help write it for you. Well, what it is Agenda 21 cloaked policies and codes that are infiltrating the communities across our country. And the people over in Kootenai County and the surrounding counties consolidated their efforts, and they've been pushing back and informing the county commissioners on the train wreck that this stuff is and the results that we'll have on the county's citizens. And the county commissioners have finally backed down. And one person said, you and I both cook, and you know what it's like when you put a cup of salt in a cake instead of sugar. You've got to throw it out. So what these guys are trying to do is they're trying to figure out how to pick the salt out of this cake mix. But they don't want to throw it out because they've already invested so much in it. Hey, let them have the $300,000 and walk away from this, because you couldn't put a dollar amount on the stranglehold that these unified land use codes will put on their citizens. So that's what they're doing. It was a victory for the Patriots in Kootenai County, Idaho, who've decided and have put enough pressure on their county officials to dump and scrap the whole thing and write their own. And now the citizens are going to have say in it. They won't be treated like a bunch of children, patted on the head, told how cute they are when they're protesting, and then they go and push their own agenda through anyway. Very exciting. Very exciting. So it can be done. You can go to the Rural Property Owners Committee. They have a website. I'm going to track that down, and let me highlight it right now because I want to add that to the highlights and resources posting. For those of you who are fighting the same battle in different communities, there is hope for you. Okay, I want to close this segment out just by telling you about a couple things. The American Blackout. This is a National Geographic, very well done, National Geographic movie, and they've got kind of, it's like a documentary. And it's called survivetheblackout.com, and they've got an interactive website over there that tracks through what their projections are for the first 10 days of a cyber attack if our electricity grid was disrupted and taken down by a hacker attack like Iran or China or somebody like that. Very eye-opening and a great conversation starter, if nothing else, for you and your family to sit down and watch this. It's already aired tonight. But it will be available on the nationalgeographic.com, and I'll put links up there so you can go check that out. Very interesting. And let's see here. I just got an email in there about this. Watching National Geographic show, American Blackout. So far, it reminds me of that YouTube video of the two liberals trapped on the broken escalator and waiting for someone to come rescue them. don't think it's that good, but we're only 45 minutes into a two-hour show, so I'll reserve judgment. All right, good feedback so far. Anyway, it might be a great tool for you and your family to discuss your own personal preparedness strategies. Also, speaking of movies, Molon Labe, come and get it. Come and take them. Molon Labe was the movie produced by Oath Keepers, in part, and it covers the true meaning of the Second Amendment. And so I want to encourage you to go check that out. One more announcement before we take a break. My brain just shut down. It's called a SET. Emergency training. SET. Ham radio. Oh, let me read this. Scenario is a hack attack. This is a training that's taking place for ham radio operators, specifically the Aries and Racies folks. But you can listen in and probably learn a lot about some of the communications that would take place in case of a grid down situation. It really ties in with this American blackout. But this is coming up on the 2nd of November, November 2nd, so a week from now. The scenario is a hack attack that takes out the internet. This time it's going to be a regional exercise including Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and California. It would be a good training for AMRON operators in the affected area to take part in this. Or if you can't take part in it, maybe you don't have a general class ham license, you can at least monitor and listen in, and they're going to be using voice and digital, single sideband, okay? And I will post the frequencies up there for you guys, and I'll probably put a separate posting up during the week just as a reminder and put a mailing out to everyone in the American Readout Network, especially the AMRON operators. And this looks like, frequencies 39, 29. Okay, so that is going to be in the 40 meters, I mean the 80 meters. And then 7242, so that's going to be in the 40 meter. So be able to check all that out. I'm going to post that. Okay, let's take a break. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and you are listening to the Voice of the American Readout. Stay right there.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
Verifying.
China is making their move yet again. This week on Eye on the Economy, I bring you the news beyond our borders that you need to hear that will most certainly affect your finances as patriot and prepper. This is Fox 519 for Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. Welcome back to Eye on the Economy. Sorry about last week, everyone. I got really sick and couldn't give you the news that you needed, and I really missed bringing it all to you. So I'm back now feeling much better than ever, and now on to the news. This week, China made another move to isolate the dollar by creating a direct currency trade agreement with Singapore. This agreement will now allow the Chinese institutional investors to now buy foreign currencies with the yuan instead of the U.S. dollar. This comes on the heel of an agreement with the EU last week when they did a 350 billion yuan to 45 billion euro swap. This move now puts China having a currency trade agreements with 9 major countries that also include a 3-year currency swap agreement with the United Arab Emirates. Also in financial news this week, the USDA has once again announced that the benefit increase granted by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 to help people adversely affected by the recession is scheduled to expire November 1st. This reduction in the average monthly food stamp payment of approximately $272 per household will decline in November by $36 for a family of four. Finally, in a surprising turn of events this week, the mainstream media channel CNBC featured a guest column from Michael Pinto of Pinto Portfolio Strategies. The article was titled, "Decrowning the Dollar and the Collapse Ahead." It detailed out the most recent actions our government has taken by kicking the can down the road and how it will not prevent the inevitable collapse of our economy. It is a good read, and I would strongly recommend reading it soon before they pull it down. After reviewing these three previous stories with you, here's what I'm doing right now with my finances. After being very sick in the past week, I've made sure that my first aid and my medical kits are up to snuff, because if you don't have your health, you really truly have nothing. You can't work, you can't hunt, or do anything that would protect or help your family. Take a few moments today to make sure that your kit contains extra medicines and items that you will need to preserve your health in a downed economy or a Teotihuacan situation. It's great being back with you to bring you the financial news. Once again, this is Fox 519 for Radio Free Readout, an eye on the economy, signing off. God bless.
If you serve your country either in law enforcement or in the military and you are a patriot, love liberty, and want to do your part in preserving what made America great and free, join Oath Keepers today.
This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog and the Tactical Tip of the Week. If you've chosen a rifle from the AR-15 or the M4 family, one of the first things you must consider is barrel twist. The original AR-15 came with a barrel twist of 1 in 12, meaning that the rifling twists around the barrel once in 12 inches. This was designed to stabilize the 55 grain bullet they used. More current issue rifles use a twist of 1 in 7. Now this is designed to stabilize the 62 grain bullet. The military designation for this ammunition is M855. While all 5.56 ammunition will shoot in rifles with either barrel, I have found that the 55 grain ammunition is very inaccurate in the 1 in 7 barrel. But do not despair. You can purchase most any rifle with a barrel twist of 1 in 9 that shoots both types of ammunition with reasonable accuracy. Knowing your rifle means hitting your target. This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog, and you're listening to Radio Free Readout.
All right, you're back on with episode 1329, going into segment two, brought to you by Katie Armour was the last segment. AMP 3, the Austere Medical and Practical Preparedness Project. They provide medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. You can learn more by going to www.amp3.net. That's amp-3.net. And they've got something, actually, I want to share with you. They normally specialize in medical equipment for the survival disaster type situation where no doctor is available and you have to take care of your own medical needs. They do a great job. Of course, Dave over at AMP3 is a emergency room doctor, really focuses in on the medical aspects of preparedness. However, he's a ham operator, and he just designed the illuminated ECOMS, that's emergency communications solution is what it's called. It's a LED illumination where you need it most. It's for it's a tactical emergency communications pack. It's custom designed for the Yaesu FT-857D or a similar sized ham transceiver. Really slick setup. I'm going to post a copy of the YouTube video so you can go over there to USNER Docs YouTube channel and watch this. Really cool. Thanks, Dave, for sending that over. I think that's definitely worthy of passing along. Always producing good videos over there. Okay, I got a letter this week from or about the American Redoubt. Before I get to this, we are also, you guys know we went to the apple seed shoot over in outside of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. My family and I all went, and Mrs. Schmidt and myself both achieved the marksman. It's expert marksman, so it's the rifleman status. Earned our rifleman patches And it was challenging. We had a great time as a family, and it was a great confidence booster. And always learn something new. Anytime I go through a course, it's a 2-day clinic, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about that with Pat, one of the instructors there, in the next segment. Okay, this is a really good letter. I've got I get letters a lot. I get a lot of email. I have to remember. I have to keep in mind that we get new listeners coming on all the time. And it's really interesting too, because there's folks that say, you know, hey, I've been listening to you for 6 months now, and I really like it. And so I went back and downloaded all the previous podcasts. Well, we're 2.5 years old, so I went back and downloaded all the previous podcasts and listened to them all. And I love Radio Free Readout and so on. And I think, man, that's a lot of podcasts to listen to. And I was talking to somebody, oh man, I've really grown in this, because I didn't know what I was doing. When I first started 2.5 years ago, starting Radio Free Readout, I had never done anything like this before, never been in front of a microphone, and just saw the vision, went for it. And I'm almost kind of embarrassed now when I go back and listen to the earlier shows. I'm like, oh man. And well, I was talking to a readouter this week. I was at this little gathering, get together. And he says, you know, he'd been listening to me from the beginning. And he says, boy, to listen to you now versus back then, it's night and day. He says, it took a real dedicated person to listen to you back then at the beginning. And I thought, thanks. How sweet. But anyway, he's right, man. So we do get new listeners all the time. And here's a newer listener. Val sends this email about the American Readout. And this is what she writes. Interesting thing you are doing. I kind of like it. I have a few questions, though, if I may. What exactly are these readout states? Do they have a special political status? Why are they considered readout? In other words, if one moves there, does he get special protection, etc.? I'm glad a bunch of people left Europe and created a new and better world in the North America. So I'm not bashing you for doing what you're doing. However, for me at least, I would like to be able to reconcile the idea of having to suffer for the cause of Christ, being light in the dark world, not away from it, with the idea of trying to make the most of the situation and protect myself for as long as I can. Shouldn't we rather stay and fight from within with the weapons of righteousness rather than the social political ones? These are just questions that come to mind when I think of your position. How do you reconcile these things? I would really like to hear from you. Thank you, and God bless you. Those are great questions and great points. There's one other one here that I wanted to... Oh, another thing, she writes, I skipped right over it. Are you guys the same group who wants to buy tens of thousands of acres in Idaho and build a fortress with like cities within and arm themselves in case of a government takeover? I know I saw that somewhere not too long ago. Okay, good stuff. This is a new listener who is not... you know, it's not real savvy on, you know, where we stand and everything. So I understand that. You can go back to listen to episode 1 or 2 if you can plow through it and endure it. But okay, let me break this down. What exactly are the readout states? Do they have a special political status? Why are they considered readout? All those questions would be best answered by going to the article that James Rawls, he started it. James Rawls, a survival blog, wrote an article almost 3 years ago called The American Readout, Move to the Mountain States, calling for people to vote with their feet. He outlines what the American Readout is, why, in his opinion, he chose the states and the portions of the states that he did, articulates it very well, and I would recommend going back and reading that top to bottom first. That's a great primer. That is the primer for the American Redoubt and answers a lot of the why questions. Why these states? Why do you call it a redoubt? What's the whole concept behind it? So I'm going to post that on today's highlights and resources posting. I always try to get all of the highlights, highlight things that have been discussed, put resources in links and embedded videos and things like that for you to go through as footnotes and documentation and references for things that we discussed. So that's going to be on today's highlights and resources posting for episode 13-29. Go through and read that. Now, why are they considered a redoubt? He explains that. If one moves there, does he get special protection? Is there a special political status? Okay, no, not at this time. The reason why there's not a special political status or you get special protection is the fact that this is an unofficial movement at this time. It's not a formal movement. However, we're at a tipping point in the American Redoubt movement where that is going to start to, it's already starting to shift and change. Okay, so it is not a formal movement at this time, but what we are seeing is very influential leadership from Oath Keepers, from Chuck Baldwin Live, and also elected officials beginning to use the term redoubt or American redoubt. So what's happening is this: we're in a transitional phase now where it's not a formal movement, but people in positions of influence, including elected officials, are beginning to latch onto the concept of the American redoubt. Okay, so not yet. That's why I say not yet. Special political status? Do you get special protection? Well, I wouldn't say special protection, but I'll tell you what. When I know I'm surrounded by 80% patriot and conservative people, I feel a lot more specially protected than I would in Central or Southern California or in the suburbs of Chicago or many other places around our country. So yes, the protection would be there by default because of the demographics of the people in the surrounding area. Okay, the American Redoubt. Okay, are you guys the same group who wants to be buy tens of thousands of acres in Idaho, build a fortress, so on and so forth? No, what you're referring to is a project called Citadel, the Citadel. They it's not tens of thousands of acres. It's about, they hope their goal is to buy at least 2,000 acres, and then they want to build a walled fortress within that. The American Redoubt movement is, even though that's in the American Redoubt, and that might be a testimony as to the type of people that are relocating to the American Redoubt. They're patriot-minded people. So you're going to be pulling in, you know, all types and flavors and ideologies and things like that. Now, I don't think that these guys are there. Well, if they're there in case the government goes bad and starts, you know, coming after people, if, as you said, in case of a government takeover, a walled, towered, enclosed community would be like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, one drone or two drone strikes would pretty much take the whole thing out. It'd be great in a zombie apocalypse. It might be a good situation to be in a societal collapse. We're pretty much beyond where walls and towers are going to be any kind of a, you know, protection for a group of people, especially going up against the technology that our government has. So, Anyway, that is not us. That is just someone else who's decided to move to the American Redoubt for very similar reasons. And hey, if somebody wants to have a community where they pay just like a homeowners association and membership and exclusive community and live where everybody's carrying guns and they've got their own theater and their own little town and their own little community, more power to them. Why not? It's not for me, but there's nothing wrong with it. I don't think they're doing anything illegal, and I think that their intentions are right. But that's about as far as I can say about that. Now, she says that she's glad that people left Europe and created a new and better world in North America. And she says that I'd like to be able to reconcile the idea of having to suffer for the cause of Christ, being light in the world, not away from it, with the idea of trying to make the most of the situation and protect myself for as long as I can. Okay, there's several things that need to be addressed here. We are supposed to be light in the world, and occasionally God calls his people together. He gathers them, and there's numerous examples of this. The Jews returning to Israel instead of staying in Poland or Europe. Remember, it's always for his glory. Okay, now some Jews stayed behind in Europe, but prophecy was fulfilled when the Jews returned to Israel and they formed the ultimate original redoubt. And that is when the Jews returned to Israel. Now, that's not to say there were some Jews who stayed in Poland and Holland and Germany and other places, the Soviet Union, other places across Europe. But he moved his people, instead of staying there and being a light in Europe, he moved them. Okay, but that was for his own purposes. Just like the colonists moving to America, they could have said, why do I want to go to America and have religious freedom when I could just stay here and be a light to the English people? Well, there are those who moved. They felt the Lord calling them. They moved to the colonies in America. Some of them felt exactly the same way. Why should I run? Why should I not stay here and be a light and try to change things where I am? South Sudan is another example of Christians who were in a very heavily Muslim-dominated country who redoubted to the southern part of their country. And they teamed up with animists, of all people, and they fought side by side against the Muslims in the north. Instead of saying, you know, we're being persecuted here, we could just stay here and just be persecuted for Christ, or we could redoubt to southern Sudan, where it's already predominantly Christian, and we can draw a line in the sand, and we can, hopefully, God will honor this and let us have our own Christian nation. Well, that just happened. Less than 2 years ago, South Sudan became a nation. And through that process, a lot of animists came to know Christ because they were fighting right alongside Christians against the common enemy, the Muslims, who'd set out to destroy them. Now, that's not to say there were not Christians who stayed further in the north, but here's my point. There are going to be people who will be called for different purposes, okay, but always for his glory. If you feel like you should stay where you are instead of relocating to a place where Christians are gathering and congregating, then you should stay there. You should prayerfully approach the decision to relocate and to be used for God's purposes no matter where you are. Now, just like the colonists, just like the Sudanese, we don't know if God will bless the American Redoubt. But we're hopeful. Just like those in southern Sudan, just like those colonists, just like many other examples. Okay, when Jews relocated and they left Poland, they were hopeful, but they didn't know for sure if God would bless them at that time, in that point in history. and some chose to stay behind. So God will have a purpose. He will use people in relocation centers, relief centers, or concentration camps. God will use people in those places, and he will also use people in redoubts, in safe havens. If he chooses to bless this, then I want to be a part of it. And it's kind of hard to argue with the hundreds of testimonies, hundreds. I have talked to people personally. I have heard from people. I have heard of people that I have never met. And I have met many people and heard of the testimonies of people who said, we prayed about it and we felt a strong calling, the Lord calling us to the American Redoubt. Some of them don't use the term American Redoubt. They say, we just felt like we had to move here. God was prompting us. And we don't know why, because we're from Florida or we're from wherever. And this is the last place we ever thought that God would be leading us. And these people, many of them have never heard of Radio Free Redoubt or heard of the American Redoubt. And then they got here and they found out they're actually part of something bigger. They really believe, and I believe, God is doing something, and I don't know what it is, but God's definitely moving in people's lives, and there are God-fearing, liberty-minded people that are relocating here, unrelated to one another, that are meeting each other here and forging relationships, and they're growing together. It's an amazing testimony that you can't argue with. It's unexplainable. It's supernatural. But there are people that will be called to action to be salt and light wherever they are. So sometimes the Lord, I believe, calls people out and gathers them together. And sometimes he uses them where they are in the persecution. Now, one thing that you said in the letter, with the idea of trying to make the most of the situation and protect myself as long as I can by living, you know, being a light in the dark world, not away from it. I don't know why you would want to protect yourself if you've already resolved to suffering for Christ. If you're going to suffer for Christ, you're going to suffer for Christ no matter where you are or what you're doing. Something that we can all expect. But the colonists who moved to the United States, they were a light in the world. They didn't have to move. They didn't have to stay in Europe. They moved to the United States, what would become the United States. And that became a beacon, a light. Their Southern Sudan, or South Sudan rather, is a light in a dark world. People are clamoring to get to South Sudan from some of the surrounding countries, especially the Christians, where the persecution is increasing. So they are a light in the world. And in the process, while they're fighting the Muslim extremists and holding them at bay, other non-Christians fighting alongside of them are saying, I want what you got. And they're becoming Christians. Amazing. It's amazing. So God can work in so many different ways. Now, you ask the question, should we rather stay and fight from within with the weapons of righteousness rather than the social political ones? That's an interesting question because, first of all, I'm not sure what you mean by the weapons of righteousness, unless you're meaning prayer, being in the Word, putting on the full armor of God. Because the social / political weapons, you can't draw a line between social and political weapons and weapons of righteousness because we're in a spiritual war. Social and political weapons are spiritual weapons used on both sides. And what does God want us to do? God wants us to, if you go to Micah 6:8, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. And Isaiah says, learn to do good, seek justice, and rescue the oppressed. Now, if you are doing those things, you are using the weapons of righteousness. And that is done within our social political arena. Because we have elected officials who are choosing to support the murdering of children in their mother's wombs. We have political leaders that are pushing for homosexual marriage. We have leaders that are forcibly removing the wealth from some productive people and empowering other people to be not productive, to be dependent on the government, who's increasingly elevating itself as the almighty provider. So people are bowing down to the government, and they're using our money to do that with, to fund an abortion from a girl backed by legislation and funding by her parents' tax dollars without them ever having the knowledge or much less consent for their 14, 15-year-old pregnant daughter. So should we be fighting in the social and political realm? Absolutely, with the weapons of righteousness. This crosses over. You can't separate the two. So we are called to do that. Romans chapter 13 says, rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, then be afraid, because rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. But see, the government, when it reaches a certain point, is an abomination. Because when you are punished for doing good, that's an abomination. Because the government is not supposed, they're supposed to be there for your good. To not hold terror for those who do right. But when they hold terror for those who do right, but protect those who do wrong, well, then something's not right. So in that case, instead of being submissive to them, because it's an abomination against what God designed it to do, when they're punishing people for doing right, when you are being punished and you're not a wrongdoer, then we have every right to do justice, love kindness, walk humbly, to do justice, seek justice, learn to do good, and rescue the oppressed, like Isaiah says. Anyway, enough of that. I'm not a preacher. Okay, I just love the Lord, and I love his word, and I try to put it in its proper context and rightfully divide the word. But that's how I feel about that. God does move people, and right now he's moving people. People that are God-fearing, love freedom, they love liberty. The same caliber of people that came from the founding fathers who founded this nation, they are rising. I need you to pray for our leaders, that he will begin preparing our leaders for what's coming to this country. They are going to need godly wisdom. And they are not going to be short on supportive people, God-fearing, prayerful people around them. Because they're relocating to the American Redoubt. It's not for everyone. Be responsive. If God wants you, you go where God wants you. But there is something going on. Something's happening. Something's moving. And it can't be denied. It's the American Redoubt. And we'll just have to see, and time will tell, what God has planned for all of this. But I'll tell you what, I'm happy to be part of it. I feel amazed that he's chose me to be part of this. I didn't even realize how big this was. And it still amazes me. But it's really cool to watch him work around you. So there it is. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to somebody who is right in the center of the fight for preserving our heritage, preserving our liberty, and making America a nation of riflemen. Okay, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
How rare is it for a government to let expire a temporary tax? And how many times have you known government to repeal any measure which grants power to itself or removes liberty from the citizens? I can count the number of times on one finger and a thumb, with their tips touching one another, of course. John Adams said, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever." There is an exception, however, and that is when things begin anew. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Okay, we talked about last week, my family and I were treated to a very special event. And I talked about it last week and introduced you to a little bit to this event. And this is Project Appleseed. Project Appleseed revisits and keeps alive the spirit of April 19th, 1775. And of course, as their subtitle on their logo says, it's when marksmanship met history and the heritage began. Now, we had some great people in attendance out there. And I'll tell you what, if you want to be around some true patriots, the volunteer instructors that make these events happen are second to none caliber of people, and no pun intended. But it's just my pleasure to have one of the lead instructors from last weekend's event at the Fernand Shooting Range at right outside of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, joining us right now. And he's from the Northwest Project Appleseed, from the Northwest region. Pat, great to have you with us. Thanks for coming on Radio Free Redoubt.
Well, thank you, and thanks for all those accolades for coming to the shoot, and we have appreciated having you out there.
You know, we all know that you guys are volunteers. You don't get paid for it, but there's other non-monetary payment. You know, there's rewards. I know that it seemed like you guys were saying, you know, this is so rewarding for us to watch this happen and to be a part of this. You guys' your hearts are in it, and it really shows. So we all appreciate that. Absolutely. Okay, now let's talk about Project Appleseed. What my goal is to actually turn this into a brush fire. I think just like subtitle, I'm trying to think of the right word for it, but it's basically the goal of turning America into a nation of riflemen. And there's so much April 19th around this whole project. Can you just explain a little bit about Project Appleseed, how it started, and what is the significance for the listeners who are new and don't know, what is the significance of April 19th, 1775?
Okay, well, first of all, we're not about making America a nation of riflemen. I think we're more about making America where everybody has the spirit of a rifleman. So let me just clarify that right off.
Sure.
And the other thing I want to get right out front, when I'm a shoot boss on many of the Coeur d'Alene shoots, and the first thing I like to do when I welcome folks is for any veterans that are in the audience on behalf of the Appleseed Project, and especially our Idaho instructor cadre, I'd like to thank you for your service, which maintains our freedom of choice for doing things like Appleseed and undoubtedly having your own radio show. So back to Project Appleseed. We are the sole focus and activity of the Revolutionary War Veterans Association, and it's a nonprofit 501c education organization. Appleseed is currently in its seventh year, and we've grown from about 6 to 8 shoots a year to more than 1,000 events a year.
Wow.
So obviously the go-to thing is the fact that we teach the fundamentals of rifle marksmanship. But what we do that's a little different from most marksmanship schools is we intertwine these skills with the heritage of our country. As you're probably well aware, rifle skills are becoming a lost art in modern America. But as Appleseed participants and as instructors, we feel they're every bit as important today as they were on April 19, 1775.
Mm-hmm.
Shots were fired on Lexington Green. Now that gets us to the significance of that date. Many celebrate July 4th as the birth date of our country. If you know a little bit more about history, you'll probably realize that actually it's April 19th. That's when the regulars first marched out of Boston to Lexington, pretty much massacred the Lexington militia, proceeded on to Concord to try and capture what they thought was going to be a great big powder supply and ball supply. They were met with additional resistance at the North Bridge. And actually, the shot heard around the world came from a poem written by Henry Longfellow, and it was about the shots fired at the North Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
During that retreat from Concord, the British regulars were under fire the whole way from Concord back to Boston. And that was all on April 19th, and there's a lot of stories that are entwined in those in that one day, but you all know about Paul Revere and his famous ride. Well, there was a whole bunch of those alarm riders out there.
Yes.
And by the end of the day, they'd raised over 14,000 armed locals to march to Concord and Lexington to get a hand. That's a pretty significant number when you think that there was no internet. They weren't packing tablets. They didn't have cell phones. I bet not many of them even had old dial-up hard lines in those days.
Not many. You know, that's what a time to be alive. I'm blown away when I think of men riding from one township to another on horseback, and by mid-morning the next day, being able to raise up 14,000 patriots, armed Christians, ready to defend their country when they've had enough. I wonder what kind of a turnout we would have today. And sometimes it's kind of scary to think, could we raise 14,000 patriots across this whole nation in a night? You know, that's an amazing thing.
It truly is.
But what I really liked about this two-day shooting clinic is that you did weave this history stories. I mean, you're not only firearms instructors, you're storytellers and historians and patriots and everything rolled into one. And that's what made this so exciting. And young and old, we had, what, 9 years old to probably early 60s shooters?
Oh, yeah. And
everything in between.
On Saturday, we probably had some that were probably pushing 70.
Yeah, absolutely. And everything in between, men and women. Matter of fact, I think the females outnumbered the males on Saturday.
And, well, I don't know if they outnumbered them. They outshot them.
That's right. We had several go home with the coveted rifleman patch. And that was great. And of course, Mrs. Schmidt and myself both, she got hers on Sunday. I got mine on Saturday. And there was a lot of smiles out there. Amazing.
Well, and that, I tell you, those smiles are one of those non-monetary rewards that we instructors get after a shoot. Because I don't know if you had a chance to look at the pictures posted on our after-action review of that shoot, but there's some world-class smiles of people holding their badges.
Yes, there are. Now, during the breaks and during the lunches, this is where the instructors take the opportunities to share some of these history stories. And then, of course, talk a little bit about what we can do to overcome well, those the enemies of liberty. And, of course, three enemies of liberty were listed in one of these little teachable moments. And the three enemies of liberty being listed as ignorance and apathy and laziness. And the Appleseed Project is really a proactive part in overcoming those enemies of liberty by informing people so they're not ignorant, lighten a fire inside of them so they're not apathetic anymore. And you can't be lazy out there at one of these events. And what I really also like is that you guys, as an Appleseed Project overall, is really going after the youth, the next generation, and raising them up. Can you speak a little bit to what some of the things that Project Appleseed's doing to instill this in our youth, this next generation that they're trying to deprogram this heritage from?
Well, we've attended many of the homeschool conventions around the state and set up Appleseed booths. We've done homeschool shoots. We've done many shoots with Boy Scout groups over the years. Our fee structure is such that if a child comes with a paying adult, there's no fee for the child. If you have two kids, one comes for free and one pays $20 for a weekend clinic, so we try and keep it as budget-oriented as possible.
Yeah,
the children are our future, so I won't call it indoctrination. It's mostly an educational thing for them.
Yes.
Many children will not have heard the history of April 19th. It's not something that's common. You actually have to do some digging to find it. We do learn about Paul Revere. I mean, I learned about Paul Revere when I was in school, but April 19th really didn't have much significance for me until I attended an Appleseed shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that there's my vision is for projects like this to be involved in every school across the American Redoubt and really across the country. But because of the really conservative demographics that we see here, I see that being really receptive and starting in the homeschool networks, and then of course the private and Christian schools, and then hopefully develop a hunger for this. You know, even in the public school systems where they're looking and saying, hey, I want that too. And so I know that some of these are going on. You guys have a lot of information over at Project Appleseed. What is the official website? And I'll put that up for
It's www.appleseedinfo.org.
Appleseedinfo.org. And then also there is a Inland Northwest Regional Appleseed. I don't know if you guys have an actual website or if it's just the Facebook, but that's the Idaho, Montana, Oregon, and Washington, correct?
Yes, and that's it's on Facebook, and it's called the Northwest Region Project Appleseed.
Okay, perfect. All right, I'm going to put that up on the highlights and resources posting for people to go straight through to that. And you have a calendar of events of these things. Now, this is let's talk a little bit about, besides the history, which is just wonderful. I love the dangerous old men segments.
Yeah, we all hope to be one of those someday.
That's right. And
but before we leave the history, I do want, you do mention the groups out there. And you know, if they're not interested in the shooting aspects of Appleseed, we do have a program that we call Liberty Seeds where we'll come. I mean, if you have a group of 8, 10, 12 people, we'll bring instructors to that group, and we will tell those three strikes of the match that lit that fire of revolution on April 19th, 1775. We've done it for, had them in libraries. I actually did one a year or so ago at a dojo in Spokane, so they were having a big regional belt advancement, and they'd asked us to come in and give our history at their lunch, and it was very interesting mix of martial artists and history.
So, wow.
Yeah, those homeschool groups, if they, you know, I know there's a lot of those that are out there. There's a North Idaho homeschool group, and if they're interested in the history, you know, they would contact our promo person who helps set those up. And that website or email would be Northwest Promo.
Is that Northwest all? I'm sorry. Is that Northwest all spelled out, or is it NW?
No, it's actually NW.
Okay.
NW Promo at appleseedinfo.org. And if you get hold of them, they will refer you to whatever locale you're in and get you a local instructor, and we'll work it from there.
Okay, so to find a local instructor, they can go to NW for Northwest, NW Promo at appleseedinfo.org.
Yep, and that would be just an email.
Okay, so we want to encourage parents, educators, anybody that has a sphere of influence to be able to try to coordinate these, if nothing else, if not on the firing range, just the history lessons to get this heritage returned back into the hands of Americans that's been snatched away and stolen from us. And so we want to return that, and it's a worthwhile cause. So I'll post that also on the highlights and resources posting so they can learn more about that. And one more thing too, before we leave the history and talking about the actual shoot, just for, you know, just a few minutes. I noticed that over on your website, and you turned me on to this at libertyseed.org/books. I downloaded all the free PDF books that you guys have listed there, because there is so much history just on that one page about the founding of our country. So I'm going to post that as well. That's just amazing stuff. And I'd love to be able to get my hands on some of these stories that that you guys tell at the compilation of the stories that you guys tell during these clinics.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to have our next Appleseed here is going to be November 16th at the Fernand Range again. But it's going to be open only to those who have been to a previous clinic, because instead of just shooting the 25 meters, we're actually be shooting out to 400 yards. So it'll be a center fire, long distance shoot, and you'll get some new stories if you show up to that one.
Oh yeah. Okay, good. All right. That sounds great. I'm just making a little note of that here. I pulled up the schedule. There's a Appleseed for new inexperienced shooters all the way through advanced, people who consider themselves advanced shooters. You will learn something when you go to this one of these clinics. But there's one in Lewiston on November 2nd and 3rd. That's next weekend. November 16th and 17th is the one that you're speaking of in Coeur d'Alene. And there's one going on this weekend, actually, that just finished up October 26th and 27th. That's down in Napa. So we're going to have some new riflemen joining the ranks there.
We hope so.
And this is challenging, because what I didn't realize was that it takes an average of 3 apple seeds before one earns his or her rifleman patch. I was surprised at how challenging the qualification was.
Well, I don't know how challenged you were, because I'll blow up your horn a little bit, but you had a beyond an average good score. You had a very good score, and you shot it with open sights, which we don't see a lot of anymore. So you didn't get a lot of personal instruction, because frankly, you didn't need it.
Well, I've shot a couple times before, so I kind of got the hang of it. I'll tell you what, it was amazing how much of a difference from day one, when you do that initial shoot, till the end of day two, the difference in your shot groups and patterns. If you're experienced, I've never been through a training course where I didn't walk away from there learning something new. And it made a difference. The level of instruction and just coaching was amazing from all the shooters that were there. And I tightened up my shot group considerably. And so it was just, it was really encouraging. Now, let's talk about that shooting range. What type of firearm is this designed for?
Well, we've seen it all. I mean, everything from single shot 22s to, bolt action 7.62x54s have all come out there. But the primary use that we have in the standard basic 2-day Appleseed clinic, the most common rifle that we'll see is a Ruger 10/22.
Yeah.
Semi-automatic magazine fed 22 works best because we do towards, the end of the first day, we do what we call transition stages where we'll start standing and transition to either sitting and prone, and you'll actually throw a mag change in there. So, those are tougher to do. We have workarounds for tube-fed rifles, so, don't come if that's all you have. But the semi-automatic just allows you to focus on some more fundamental things rather than learning bolt timing and things like that.
Sure.
With a semi-automatic, it's easier to maintain a natural point of aim. The controls are all quicker. So you spend more time focusing on the really important things like where your front sight is and your trigger movement than
right.
you do having to manipulate the firearm.
Okay. And of course, these are all at 25 meters. The shooter can expect to go through approximately 450 to 500 rounds of ammo.
That's a big bite of ammo in today's world, and actually many instructors have kind of modified their course of fire as the ammo's been scarcer.
Yeah.
So the 2-day clinic, we're trying to hold it to about 400 rounds, maybe a little over 400.
Okay, good. And that's what we went through, probably about 400, a little over 400 rounds. I'd say about 425 to 450 rounds over the 2 days. That's a lot of shooting. And
it is a lot of shooting.
One guy posted over there at the Facebook site, and Brian got his rifleman patch. He said he had a great time. He says, I'm encouraging everyone I know to attend an Appleseed shoot, bring plenty of ammo and ibuprofen. I don't think there was anybody who was not sore the next day.
There's not many people that practice that seated position or the kneeling position and prone anymore. Most people go to the range and they plop down on a bench and put a sandbag under the fore end and tuck that stock in and shoot a little bit and call it good. And that's really not marksmanship. That tells you how good your rifle is. It doesn't really tell you how good you are.
Yeah, for sure. Good stuff. Okay, now, and then it's my understanding also, this is kind of the original intent or the vision was to use military rifles. I know the M1 and the M1A is pretty heavily promoted, on the
yep.
websites anyway.
Well, the guy that founded this, and I guess I'm kind of talking more from hearsay than I know about personal information, but I think there was a lot of high power influence, competitive high power, when Appleseed first started. So actually, guys were shooting M1 Garands and M1As. And, both of those were highly effective firearms, and they kind of moved it to the 22. And about 4 years ago, the price of ammo really jumped up, and the 308 just wasn't as economical as it used to be.
Right. Yeah,
and if you shorten your course of fire to 25 meters rather than running it out to 400 yards, you actually spend more time shooting and less time walking.
Yeah, well, that's a really good point. But the one in Coeur d'Alene, that's going to be a center fire at up to 400 yards or meters?
400 yards.
400 yards. Okay, and that, what do you expect to see mostly? The kind of AR-15 variants?
We'll see a lot of AR-15s. We did a KD shoot last year. We had one guy show up with a 308 bolt gun, and he shot riflemen with a 308 bolt. So it's not unheard of, but he's an exceptional shooter. And we had a couple ARs, and I believe we had two M1As.
Nice. And the KD, that's known distance.
Known distance, yeah, because yeah. We'll shoot, basically we shoot an AQT that's a full-size target, but it's AQT is short for Army Qualification Test. And so they're basically a 20-inch wide, silhouette-shaped target, and we'll post them at 100, 200, 300, and 400.
Wow.
So it's the same course of fire that we run at 25 meters, but we use a scaled target at 25 meters. And here we're just shooting full-size targets at distance. So, you know, the shooter will have to overcome and make adjustments for wind and elevation drop.
Sure, sure. Wow, that's going to be that sounds challenging. That sounds really good. So, okay, well, good. They can learn more by going to projectappleseed.org, if that's correct.
That's correct.
Okay, and then nationwide, they can just click on an interactive map to find out any events that are going on in their area or their regions so that they can participate. Pat, it's been really a pleasure having you with us and talking more about this. We definitely want to get the word out and strongly encourage anyone who's not been to at least one of these to attend and hopefully maybe even expand the the history portion of this and start getting that more public exposure as well. So
that'd be great.
And you're directly
more
involved.
The merrier, right?
Absolutely. You're directly involved with the Northwest Region Project Appleseed. Is that correct? That's what you're tied to?
Well, I'm an Idaho instructor, so I instruct in Idaho, Montana, and occasionally in Washington.
Okay. To preserve our American heritage of liberty and rifle marksmanship. I love it. Keep it up.
Thank you. We intend to.
Okay. Well, we're going to support you in any way we can. You have a great week, and hopefully we'll be able to send a lot more people, and hopefully we'll be able to see you here in a couple weeks for this Center Rifle Known Target Appleseed coming up.
That'd be good. And, you know, we'll start our apple seeds next spring again at Fernand in April. But before that, we're hoping to have one an inaugural shoot sometime this winter up at the Smelterville, Idaho range, the Shoshone Gun Club.
Oh.
And I'm going to be working on that this week, and hopefully we'll get a date finalized and get that up on the website, too.
Good. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's a winter seed, right?
That'll be a winter seed, and that's a pretty cool patch for those of you that haven't seen it, because the standard rifleman patch is the 13 colony flag.
Yeah.
But the winter seed one's got icicles dripping off the bottom of it.
I saw that.
Kind of a collector's item, and, you know, a lot of instructors like that one, because it's one thing to shoot a rifleman. It's another one to shoot it when the weather's our beautiful North Idaho four season.
Absolutely. That's good stuff. And then, of course, the one in April, real quick before we let you go, that's going to be centered right around the April 19th date, as close as you can get to it, correct?
Yeah, you know, I don't have the dates in front of me, and I wish I did, but I can't remember what day I booked Fernand for that shoot.
Okay.
Probably pretty close to the 19th.
Well, we're going to watch it really closely, and we're definitely going to put the word out so we can get as many people in attendance as possible.
Okay, we greatly appreciate it, and thanks for your support.
Absolutely. Okay, God bless you and all the other instructors for everything you guys are doing.
All right, bye.
Okay, have a good one, Pat. Bye now.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Late last week, the Houston Chronicle reported that over 100 agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms were, quote, combing neighborhoods and asking people about suspicious purchases, as well as seeking explanations as to how their guns ended up being used in murders, kidnappings, and other crimes in Mexico. Agents are also personally visiting firearms dealers and reviewing gun registration records. Let me say this again, unless you missed it. This is happening in Texas, Houston, Texas. This should be of concern for every law-abiding citizen. The reason given for these house-to-house searches is even more ludicrous. To stop the flow of guns into Mexico, where it is alleged that 90% of the guns captured there are coming from the United States. The only problem is that 90% statistic was proven to be an outright lie. The Washington State Constitution is clear on the issue of gun ownership. Under Article 1, Section 24, quote, "The right of the individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself or the state shall not be impaired." This is much more definitive than the federal Second Amendment. But neither the Washington nor United States constitutions create the right to bear arms. They simply limit government. As stated in the recent Heller decision by the United States Supreme Court, The right to bear arms already exists. The founders understood that imposing on such a vital freedom was the road to tyranny. Why? Because in our system of checks and balances, there are four branches of government. Yes, four. Aside from the executive, judicial, and legislative branches, the final check and balance is a well-armed people. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
And my God-given right of freedom will cease only with my death. I've been through it. I've been there. You people don't know what freedom is because you never lost it.
All right, guys, this is the final segment. I just spent a couple minutes wrapping things up. I hope you enjoyed that. I had a major problem with my computer this week where I lost all the audio. It was one of those Windows 7 automatic updates. And my gosh, I was just pulling my hair out trying to find out how to overcome it. And nothing was working. So anyway, I got a hold of Delta 01, the IT guy, and we got on there, troubleshot it, and found out everything that was wrong and replaced all the drivers. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get a show out. So anyway, in this last segment in the interview there, I just had all this information just splattered right in front of me and not organized in any way. I was really kind of frustrated because I didn't have the time to lay out, the questions I wanted to ask in a logical fashion. But anyway, I hope we got the information out there to you. Something I really believe in, the Appleseed Project. Amazing. There's so much to learn there. And I just strongly recommend that you get your family out there on the range and learn more about history and learn to become a rifleman and have the spirit of the rifleman. It's like America used to be. This coming week, don't forget, the Amron Nets are going to be going on. Thank you all for participating in those. God bless you guys for your dedication to working this the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network communications nets, both digital and voice. Lots of fun, and we're going to be adding some stuff to this to make it more interesting and add some incentives for people to get involved in that and to participate and get familiarized with your communications equipment so that we can all, in a grid-down situation, stay connected and be able to share information and intelligence. Okay, right after the show, we are going to air, of course, the Partisan Diaries, an exclusive production of Radio Free Redoubt, thanks to Codename Chloe. Then, of course, we'll be playing an episode of... what are we going to be playing an episode of? Cloak and Dagger. Yeah, that's coming up. Okay, guys, you have a blessed week. It's so great to have you all with us. Keep the letters of encouragement. Oh, I got some emails to return. I've not forgotten about you, okay? I did not blow you off. I'm just a little overwhelmed, so I'll be getting back to you. But thank you for your prayers, your support, your letters of encouragement, and ideas and suggestions and input. It's all good stuff. All right, I'm John Jacob Schmidt. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.